Jeremiah 18 today. Let's go to the Word of God and gather what God has for us. Jeremiah chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Rise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, would you help me now as I handle the word of God? Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Do a work. For those that are broken, may we still offer a broken hallelujah. For those that do not know you, may today be the day that that individual or others will come to a saving knowledge of the truth. Now keep the devil from interfering in this service, and may the Holy Spirit truly control us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The prophet Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And he's known as the weeping prophet because when he confronted the people of God with the word from God and looked at their response to that word, it often caused him to weep. He was broken over his people. He saw them living in a way that didn't line up with the way that God had blessed them. He saw them behaving in a way that was different than God had taught them. Jeremiah's calling was something that God had distributed to him as his perfect plan for Jeremiah's life. His father was a priest, and perhaps Jeremiah thought a priest was what he would be. But in the womb, God ordained Jeremiah not to be a priest, but to be a prophet. And God raised him up as a prophet, representing God's voice to God's people. Jeremiah wasn't to make up his own message. He was to declare to the people of God, God's message. And by the way, the men of God who handle the word of God in this day and age, we are not to make up our own message. We are to declare to the people of God, God's message. He wept because when he told them what God said, when he confronted them with God's word, they rejected him. His ministry as a prophet was one of the most difficult ministries. It was one that saw very few results. He knew he was saying the right thing. But just because what he was saying was right didn't mean it would be received. Could I say that again? Just because you say what's right doesn't mean it will be received. And so Jeremiah found himself often discouraged. He found himself in the book of Lamentations, lamenting, if you would, sorrowing over the people of God and their reception to God's word. They rejected him. They locked him up. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. They ostracized him. They criticized him. They persecuted him, not for being a bad man, but for being exactly the man that God had caused him to be. And yet, for 40 more years, he had to stand in this office as the voice of Almighty God. Hear me now. You may have to do right in the face of people that don't like you, don't agree with you, don't receive you, but you can't duck and hide. You got to stand in your place and be who God wants you to be. We're living in the day and age of tuck and hide, can hide. Somebody doesn't like what I say. Somebody doesn't receive what I say. Somebody doesn't agree with what I say. I'm not going to say it anymore. You better know that when you stand on the truth of the word of God, they may not like it. They may not receive it. They may not embrace it. They may not applaud it. But you stand on the authority of the word of God. Don't you change it. Don't you alter it. Don't you compromise it. Don't you put up, back up, back down, or shut up. You stand on the principles of the word of God. And so he did. And he confronted Judah with their sins. He told them that their sins did not escape God's perception, and that their sins would bring about judgment. He told them that they too would be judged like the northern kingdom of Assyria had been judged. And eventually Babylon would come in and destroy them because of their disobedience. He told them to get right. He reminded them about God's law. He reminded them about their experiences. He reminded them about God's commandments in the chapter prior. He reminded them about the Sabbath and the significance of worshiping God on his day. And yet time after time, no matter what he said, they seemed not to receive it. In Jeremiah chapter 18, God is going to tell him yet another message. But on this time, Jeremiah says, I not only want you to hear the message, but I want you to hear the message from a certain spot. Because this place where you're going to go, Jeremiah, is going to give you a better picture of my message. And when you get to that spot, I want you to observe something at that spot, and your observation will serve as an aid to your message to God's people. A lot of places God could have sent him. Amen. He could have sent him to the house of God. He could have sent him to somebody else's house. He could have sent him to the bed to lay down and receive a dream. But in Jeremiah chapter 18, by design, God sent Jeremiah to the potter's house. Jeremiah, there are some similarities with the potter's house that will reveal something to you and to my people that they need to understand. When you get to the potter's house, first of all, Jeremiah, you're going to find out who I am. And then you're going to find out what I'm doing. Amen. And ultimately, you're going to find out what I'm trying to accomplish. Somebody say amen. He said, I want you to see. And I not only want you to see, but I want you to tell them. I not only want you to tell them, but I want them to understand who I am. I want them to understand what I'm doing. And I want them to understand where I'm trying to take them. And the best place for you to witness all three of those things is at the potter's house. Today, perhaps God wants to say something to us. We're not the nation of Israel ethnically, but we are the people of God spiritually. Come on now. The nation of Israel was chosen by God's prerogative. Aren't you glad we've been chosen by God? Amen. God saw all of us who would accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. By the way, not forcing your will, but recognizing your will. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even of him that believe on his name. I don't know what your last name is ethnically. I don't know what your family tree is nationally, but I'm glad today that if I've been washed in the blood, all my hope is in Jesus. Whether we're black or white or yellow or green, whether from this country or another country, whether we speak English or Japanese or Chinese or Amharic or Portuguese, I'm glad that when we get washed in the blood, we're all in the same family. We're in the family of God. And now God has something for us to learn today at the potter's house. He wants to remind us of who he is. He wants to remind us of what he's doing. And he wants to remind us of where he's trying to take us. And the best place for us to learn that today is at the potter's house. So I want us, if we could, to pack up our suitcases. I want us to disengage what our intended agenda was for the day. I want us to break some other appointments for about the next 30 minutes. I want us to forget about the games that are coming on later, the trials that we're going through right now, the situations in our life that seem to bombard us. And for just a few moments, I want us to grab our suitcases and I want us to follow Jeremiah to the potter's house. Amen. For a few moments today, I'm going to preach a message entitled A Trip to the Potter's House. What did Jeremiah see when he went there? Well, it's the same thing I want us to see today. Number one, he saw the potter. Everybody say the potter. Now look here in verse number two. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down. And notice he said, behold, he. Amen. Notice he said, behold, he. Now look at verse number six. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Notice, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in what? Mine hand. Could I tell you, when Jeremiah got to the potter's house, you know what he found out? There was somebody that was in charge. There was a person there. And by the way, that person there wasn't any ordinary person. That person was Jehovah. That person was Elohim. That person was Almighty God, a self-existent God, a supreme God and a sovereign God. Listen to me, my friend. That's why today we don't need to get caught up with other people and get caught up with other things. Thank God for heroes. Thank God for role models. Thank God for examples. Thank God for pastors. Thank God for ministers. Thank God for parents. Thank God for disciplers. But if we're really going to be what we ought to be, we need to go to the potter's house and get our eyes on the potter. There was a person there. There was some patience there. What do you mean, Pastor, about patience? The Bible said in verse 4, he made it again. Come on now. You know what Jeremiah saw when he got to the potter's house? He not only saw a person, but he saw some patience. You know what he saw about that potter? That potter is a faithful potter. You know what he saw about that potter? That potter is a forgiving potter. Come on, somebody say amen. Aren't you glad that even though you've messed up on God, he hadn't given up on you? Aren't you glad, even though you're not where you should be, that God hadn't let you down? Aren't you glad that even though you mess up, that God picks you up again? Aren't you glad that even though you fail, that he's faithful? Even though you sin, he's forgiving. Aren't you glad that there are no three strikes and you're out with Almighty God? Aren't you glad that after your bumps and bruises, your mistakes and mishaps, you're still, by the grace and mercy of God, sitting in a church on a Sunday morning and the potter is still doing what he does? Amen. He saw a person. He saw patience. You know what else he saw? Possession. You're in my hand. Come on now. Aren't you glad you're in his hand? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Let me tell you something. I'm glad that I can lose a lot of things, but I can't lose my salvation. I'm glad that once I got saved, I'm always saved. I'm kept by power until the day of redemption. I'm glad when he adopted me, he hadn't changed his mind. I'm glad when I got in the family, I haven't fallen out of the family. I'm glad when I got a new name, he didn't take his name back. I'm glad when I received a gift, it was a free gift. And the moment it wasn't a gift, it became a purchase. I'm glad I've been washed in the blood. I'm glad I've been redeemed. I'm glad I've been justified. I'm glad his sin, my sins and iniquities, will he remember no more. I'm glad as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he moved his transgressions from us. You say, Pastor, I'm here today. I'm going through something. I'm battling discouragement. I'm facing a trial. I feel like I can't go on. I'm weighed down by my problems. You say, Pastor, what do I do? I want you to lasso in the reins of your brains. And as bad as it may be this morning, aren't you glad? Let the storms come. Let the trials come. Let the difficulties come. Let the persecution come. But through it all, I am still in his hand. That's what Jeremiah saw. He saw the potter.
Right.
Number two, he saw the process. Well, there's something going on when I got there. He said, and I only saw him, but I saw him doing something. Come on now. You know what I see when I go to the potter's house? I see God standing there in all of his glory. What do you mean? Like they sang this morning, high and lifted up. You know what I see when I see God? I see his holiness. I see his majesty. I see his magnanimity. I see his supremacy. I see his sovereignty. I see his immutability. I see his eternality. I see his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence. I see that he's a gracious God, a merciful God, and a loving God. Wait a minute now. Every time I look at him, he's still right there where he's always been. You know, people change, don't they? Some people used to be something and they're not anymore. Some people used to not be something and they are now. But I'm glad that that potter, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the potter. But I'm glad not only he is who he is, but I'm glad he does what he does. The Bible says he said the potter wrought a work on the wheel. Huh? Now, I did some studying on this, and I looked up a potter's wheel, and some of them have foot pedals where he was using to spin the wheel, and others he just used with his hand. But I looked up that wheel. It wasn't a fancy thing. It was the instrument that God used with the clay. It was the instrument the potter used for the process. But here's what I noticed about the process in Jeremiah 18. Number one, the material. Watch this now. He ain't have much to work with. Did you look at the passage of scripture? He said it was marred. Come on now. It was marred. You know what that means? It was broken up. It was hard. It was rough. Come on now. Let's just take our halos off for just a minute. And let's all admit in unison, when God chose to work with me, he has some rough stuff to work with. Come on now. And how many of you say, now that I've gotten down the road a little bit, a little signified, a little dignified, dressed up on a Sunday morning, I even know how to find Jeremiah before Bethany finished the special. I'm doing pretty good. I'm in church today. I came to Sunday school. I'm coming back tonight. I look pretty good. I'm pretty cleaned up. I'm pretty not like as bad as I used to be. How many of you would admit today that you're still marred? You're still messed up. He still got rough stuff to work with. But I'm glad he didn't look down at me and say, you're not good enough. You're not nice enough. You're not fine enough. You're not great enough. You're not valuable enough. I'm simply saying he looks for the rough stuff. He specializes in the bad stuff. He's good at handling the marred stuff. And we're all in the same category today. When God works on us, he's got marred material. But he didn't throw it away. Jeremiah's looking at this. He said, watch this now. He said, the vessel was made right in the beginning, but now it's marred. It's gotten messed up. It's gotten broken. By the way, when God saved you, he fixed you up. But sometime along the way, we go from being fixed up to kind of messed up. Not lose our salvation, but need a lot of work. Come on now. I want you to notice the material. But then I also want you to notice something else that stood out in my mind. The movement. Remember that wheel? Remember that foot pedal? When that potter would step on that pedal, if that's the kind he had, or if he just spin it, in order to get the clay where it needed to be, the wheel had to be moving. Watch this now. And the faster the wheel was moving, the better, come on now, the potter could work with it. Watch this now. Jeremiah looked into that potter's house. He saw the potter, but he saw the process. He saw the material was marred, but he also saw the movement of the wheel. Now think about movement of the wheel in the potter's house, and I mirror it to the movement of the wheel in our own lives. How many of you would say that movement in my life often represents the circumstances in my life? It often represents the criticisms in my life. It often represents the crises in my life. Don't you wish that the Christian life was always still, with no activity, nothing going on, no crises, no criticism, no bad circumstances? But how many of you know when you're trying to live for God as the right kind of vessel, and all of a sudden sickness comes, and death in the family comes, and financial struggle comes, and tension comes, and debates come, and arguments come, and criticisms come, and persecution comes, and attacks come? Wait a minute now. You leave church on fire for God, and you leave church, and then a circumstance hits. Then you got to go to that job and work with those people, and go to that house and be a mom, and go to that next place and be a dad, and go to that next place and work out your money. How many of you feel like sometimes that wheel is spinning so fast, I don't know what to do with myself? Hey, that's the movement in the potter's house. Write this next thing down. He not only saw the material, he not only saw the movement, but he also saw the middle. Huh? I told you I did some studying on this, huh? These terms will stand out in your mind because you probably don't know what they are. Centrifugal force and centripetal force. Now, don't worry about the terms. Just listen. Centrifugal means the force tending to pull a thing outwardly when it is rotating around the center. Centripetal force is the force tending to pull a thing inwardly when it's rotating rapidly around the center. Somebody help me preach now. Here's what Jeremiah says. I saw that wheel moving. Wait a minute now. And boy, that fast that wheel moving, and that clay's on that wheel. That wheel's got two different forces. It's got one force pulling in and one force pulling out. How many of you feel like sometimes you don't know which direction you're going? Something pulling you this way, something pulling you that way. Now, wait a minute now. Guess what happens to most Christians? Because the wheel's spinning so fast, they get so frustrated with all the movement. Watch this now. They fly off the wheel. But you know what I found out in the study of pottery? If they said that when the potter gets the clay and the wheel, here's what he's got to do with the clay. He's got to make sure that the clay is thrown or placed in the middle of the wheel. Here's why. The centrifugal and the centripetal will balance each other. Watch this now. The pull in will be balanced by the pull out, and the pull out will be balanced by the pull in. But the only way for the pull out and the pull in to balance each other is that the clay must be in the middle. Some of you say, Pastor, I got so much going on in my life, I feel like I'm ready to fly off the wheel. I think I need the wheel to slow down. You don't need the wheel to slow down. You just need to make sure you're in the middle of the wheel, in the center of God's wheel, right where he needs you to be. Let the spin come. Let the shakes come. Let the trials come. You say, I'm sick, I'm broke, I'm frustrated, I'm tired, I'm confused. But my friend, you're in the potter's hand, and you're on the wheel, and he ain't gonna spin it too fast, and he ain't gonna throw you off on purpose. But if you're so busy hanging around on the outside of the wheel, you're gonna fly off. And I find too many Christians that want to make it in the Christian life hanging on the outside. Just a little bit of God. Huh? Just enough to say I'm Christian. Just in word, not in deed. Amen. Just long enough for the church service, but not when I'm out of church. Come on. I'm telling you, listen to me. You may think right now you got it made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. You may like think that things are chill, like the wheel's not moving right now. I've heard people say, I'm finally in a good place, don't have a lot going on. Work seems to be quiet. The kids are all grown up, got all my stocks and bonds in order. Ain't none of y'all, right? But I got my money in place. I got everything together. I got my savings. I got my 401k. I got my retirement. Things have slowed down. I'm doing pretty good. And since I'm doing pretty good, I don't have to be as close to the middle as I used to be. Don't have to read my Bible like I used to. Don't have to come to church like I used to. Don't have to pray like I used to. Because after a while, the wheel seemed like it's moving slow. Could I tell you, that's what the disciples thought. Until boom, shakalaka-laka, that boat started rocking. Those waves started rumbling. That lightning started flashing. That thunder started roaring. Could I tell you, you can't run to the middle when the storm comes. You got to be in the middle before the storm comes. I don't care what's going on in your life, if you're in the valley, on the mountaintop, or somewhere in between, I'm here to tell you, the clay will make it, no matter how fast the wheel moves, if the clay is in the middle. Amen. That's the process. Now look and think about the moisture. If the clay gets hard, it needs to be moistened some. It may need some water, some moisture to soften it up. Peter said, Paul said, the washing of the water by the word. Amen. Sometimes we some clay kind of hard-hearted. Come on. Hard-hearted also mean hard-headed. Amen. You know what the old folks say? You got a hard head, you have a soft behind. Amen. And sometimes God has to soften us. Come on. With some moisture. You say, Pastor, I feel kind of hard in my life. There's some bitterness coming in. There's some regret in my life. I'm a hard person. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm going through something that makes me want to push away from the world. Can I tell you, you don't need some fancy speech. You don't need some stress ball. You don't need some Maya Angelou poem. You need the moisture of the Word of God into your life. And I found out, and some of you men would have to admit it, and maybe some of you ladies too, you never became so soft-hearted to the things of God till you got hit with the Bible. I hear people say all the time, before I got saved, got right with God, I never cried. And now I cry all the time, right? Isn't it amazing what that moisture will do?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And then here's one of my favorites. The molding. While it's spinning, he's just, I said, I want you to picture. Jeremiah looking at this. Imagine that potter hitting that pedal. If he was using it or spinning it, that wheel's moving. He got that clay in the middle. So that centripetal and that centrifugal can balance each other and keep it in the middle. He's spinning that thing and spinning that thing. And that wheel's moving and moving and moving. And while it's moving, here goes the potter. Just a little bit at a time. He working with that clay, molding it. What would you say? How was he molding it, Jeremiah? He was molding it persistently. He was molding it precisely. He was molding it personably. He was molding it purposefully. Wait a minute now. Persistent. Aren't you glad God keeps working on you? Amen. Precisely. Aren't you glad God's meticulous with you? Personally. Aren't you glad God done work you like this? Bam, bam, bam. Aren't you glad that he knows how to touch you gently? Aren't you glad that he knows how to touch you kindly? Aren't you glad that he knows how to touch you lovingly? Aren't you glad that he knows how to touch you carefully? I'm telling you, do you realize that hand that put the stars in space and put the moon in place, that hand has all power? And if God just wanted to touch you hard, he'd squash you like a mosquito. But aren't you glad that all-powerful hand that will wipe out the wicked world with his hand is the same God with that same loving hand that touches me personally? Now he's working on us today. He's molding you. We're works in progress. Stay on the wheel. Come on. Stay on the wheel. I wonder if the clay could talk, if the clay might say, ouch. Come on. I wonder if the clay could talk, if the clay might say, are we there yet? I wonder if the clay could talk, if the clay might say, why don't you do it this way? I wonder if the clay could talk, if the clay might say, it's been long enough. I wonder if the clay could talk, if the clay would say, I don't see why doing that is going to make a difference. Come on. Some of us, God's molding us. And you know what we're thinking? That's not how I would do it. That's why you're not the potter. Come on. Well, God, if I were you and you were me, I wouldn't put you through what you put me through. And I hear God saying somewhat in the balances, you're not me and I'm not you. So be you and let me be me, because long before you were clay, I was a potter and I ain't never messed. Somebody help me preach. I ain't never messed up with clay. I never found a piece I couldn't work with. I never found a process I couldn't finish. I never found clay I couldn't handle. I never found a wheel I couldn't work. I never found material that I couldn't change. As long as you'll stay on the wheel. Some of you, God's using your trials. He's using difficulties. He's using this valley. He's using this tough time in your life. And you're saying, why, God? It's not fair, God. I don't understand it, God. When's it going to end, God? Why don't you change it, God? It doesn't make sense, God. And God's saying, stay on the wheel. I'm molding you. And Jeremiah's watching this. It's helping him with Israel, isn't it? The potter. The process. And then lastly, the product. Wow. Look at what it says. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Come on. God said, you got to realize something. The kind of product I'm trying to make you is not what's good for you, but what's good for me. And if you hang around long enough, you'll find out that what's good for me will be good for you. Preserved by the master, durable, dependable. Pleasing to the master. Set apart. And serviceable. Points to the master, his Godhead, his grace, and his goodness. You know, when you walk past a beautiful piece of pottery, you don't walk up to the pottery and go, oh, pot, you look so good. Oh, handle on that pot, it's so beautiful. Oh, bowl. You're such a beautiful bowl. Oh, cup. How did you get that way? No. When you're impressed with a piece of pottery, it makes you impressed with the potter that made it. Now listen now. When you're a child of God and you look all jacked up, you make your potter look bad. Come on now. When you're a child of God and the potter's been working on you and you don't showcase what the potter's been done for you because you'd rather showcase what you want to do for yourself, you make the potter look bad. But when the potter makes a beautiful vessel and then he puts something in the vessel to be poured out into other vessels, you know what people say? Wow, that's a good looking piece of pottery, and it can't look good unless it had a good potter. I'll tell you what I want to be. I want to be a vessel that God uses. I want to be a vessel that God produces. I want to be a vessel that God molds, that I walk out in the world and the world says, my, look at that piece of pottery. Look at that vessel. Look at that instrument. Oh, what a potter. And the only alternative to being preserved by the master, pleasing to the master, and pointing to the master is what he says in the rest of the verses afterwards. If you don't want to listen to the potter, you can be punished by the master. At one instant, verse 7, I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, pull down, and destroy. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Here's what God said. I'm a potter that wants to do you good. I want to fix you up right. And if you'll cooperate with me, I'll bless you. But if you don't, I'll destroy you. Hey, Jeremiah, I know you've been talking to my people. And I know it seems like they're not listening. But maybe it's time for a good old-fashioned object lesson. And maybe this object lesson will give you a better understanding of who I am, what I'm doing, and what I'm trying to accomplish. The best place for all of that to be seen is at the potter's house. Beloved, he's the potter. We're the clay. Let's endure the process so that he can make the product that will make him look good for his glory and our good. Let's take a trip to the potter's house. Our Father, thank you. Thank you that you don't throw the clay away. Oh God, we need work, and we admit we do. Keep working on us, God. Keep working on us. Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. As the fellas sang a few moments ago, I've been washed by the blood. If that's you, would you raise your hand? All over the building. God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Pastor, I've been washed by the blood, but I'm in this process right now. That wheel's moving. Whew. And sometimes the trials and the difficulties, it's got me spinning. Sometimes, Pastor, I feel like I'm flying off the wheel. God has encouraged me this morning to stay in the middle. Stay in the middle so he can mold me into what he wants me to be. God spoke to me through the message this morning. Would you raise your hand all over the building? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I hope you mind the Lord and come to the altar this morning. Do business with God. Last question. I wonder how many of you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. I want to belong to the potter. I want to be in his hand. But I'm not sure I am, but I'd like you to pray for me. If that's your prayer, would you raise your hand all over the building? Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Would you raise it up long enough for me to see it? I won't embarrass you or call your name out. I just want to pray for you. Anybody like that? God bless you, ma'am. Thank you for your honesty. We'll not embarrass you, I promise you. Anyone else? I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me, Pastor. Anybody else like that? Let's stand together. Lord, would you bless this invitation time? Move in our midst for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.